Well, again, could we unite our hearts in prayer, please, before we come to God's Word? So let's still our hearts again, please, in the presence of our God. A great note of praise, even the prayer that is contained in the closing verses of the Scripture, even so come, Lord Jesus. So let's unite our hearts again in prayer and come to our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our loving God and Father, we continue in Thy presence in the name of our blessed Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give Thee thanks and praise for the one who has entered into glory. We thank the Lord that He entered in by right, by reason, that He had accomplished and finished the work. We thank Thee for one who is there, seated at Thy right hand, who ever lives and intercedes for His people. We rejoice, O Father, in the victory of the cross. We thank Thee for that glorious resurrection and ascension up into the throne room of glory. We thank You for one who is seated at Thy right hand. And we rejoice that He is coming again. We thank the Lord that He's coming in power and glory. And every eye shall see Him. And we thank Thee, Father, for that hope that is within us, that He is coming, O God, to judge the world in righteousness. We thank You for, O God, that day which Thou hast planned and Thou hast ordained. We thank You for the man that Thou hast appointed to judge the world. And we rejoice, O God, that there be no miscarriages of justice on that great day. We thank You, Father, Lord, for those of us who are saved. We thank You, Lord, that we have been acquitted, that the blood has washed our sin away, and we stand complete in Him, accepted in the Beloved. And Lord, we come to Thee and we pray for Thy blessing even upon this Bible study and the season of prayer, O God, that will take place in the homes afterwards. We ask that the Spirit of the Lord will be poured out upon us. I pray, O Father, that Thou would give me the grace that I need and the help that I need to rightly divide the word of truth. May it come with freshness. May it come with power. May it come, O Father, as thus and thus saith the Lord, and what Thou hast given in the study. We pray for liberty to present, O God, before the people. Bless, O God, Thy children in their homes. Lord, those who are regular at this house, we pray that Thou would bless them and encourage them. We pray for others who have maybe tuned in tonight. We pray that as the word goes forth, that it'll be a blessing, a challenge, O God, to all our hearts. And may we not be just hearers of the word, but may we be doers. Give us the grace to implement what we hear. O God, give us that grace to be, Lord, taught. And O God, we pray that Thou would soften our necks and give us a teachable spirit. We lift up the congregation before Thee. Lord, Thou knowest all those who are suffering in body and in mind, O God, maybe under a heavy cloud of oppression and depression because of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. I ask, O Father, that You would draw near to them. Lord, give them the grace. Give them the stickability. May they find, O God, that Thy strength is made perfect in their weakness. And we pray, O Father, that as their days, may their strength be found in Thee. Remember those who are sick, those who are needy. O God, those that need that touch upon their frame and feel the weakness in the body of flesh. We pray, O God, that You would draw near by Thy Spirit. Bless the means and the carers and all the things, O God, that are used to sustain the bodily frame. Bless them abundantly. Remember those who grieve and mourn, O God, those that have lost loved ones in the week, Lord, that has passed in recent days. We pray for such that You would draw near to them, speak to their hearts. Lord, those that are not saved, we ask the word will be applied with power. And Lord, that they would consider that while they're in the day of grace, they still have opportunity to call upon Thee and to seek Thee while Thou art to be found. Remember those that are Thine and have a heavy heart. And we pray that Thou would come and comfort them. And that Thou, O Father, would draw near and speak and minister through Your word and give them then that word in season. Remember our land once again. O God, forgive our land of its sin and iniquity. And how, O God, it is as if the fist, the puny fist of man has been lifted up to Thee and once again shook in Thy face even this day. We pray that Thou would have mercy and forgive our land. And Lord, we pray that even that this virus would, Lord, convict men and women of the great need to be prepared and ready to meet their God. We asked, O Father, that Thou would breathe upon the land and bring us into days of revival blessing. We confess, even yet, O God, there's such a hardness and a dearth and an indifference that lies across, O God, our fellow countrymen and this neighborhood of ours. And we pray, Father, that Thou would soften them and move them by Thy Spirit. O God, remember, O Father, the ministry here of Ballymena Free Church through the webcast. We thank Thee for it and the avenue, O God, that Thou has opened up. We pray for Your blessing to be upon it, O God, and that Thou would maintain it and even strengthen it and let it go forth even across the nations of this world. Remember those missionaries that are Thine, and Lord, they too are under restriction. And yet, O God, they're maybe very and extremely isolated in their own mission compound or wherever it might be. We pray that You would draw near by Your Spirit and encourage their hearts. And we pray, Father, that even they would use this time to be a profitable time to prepare and to pray and to draw closer to Thee. And we pray, Father, that You'll keep Your good hand upon them and preserve them even from any illness. O Lord, we just commit ourselves unto Thee. We pray now that as we gather around Your truth and Your word, that You would draw very near. Blessed to the hearts of all that hear. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for our Savior's everlasting praise and glory. Amen. Well, could I ask you please to turn in God's word to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. And just a brief reading. We'll read from verse 38 down to the end of the chapter, verse 42. So again, if you've got the Word of God in your own home, do encourage you to open it and to give attention to the reading of God's words. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and commencing our reading at verse 38. Let's hear the Word of the living God. Now it came to pass as they went, and he, that is Christ, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 42, and we do trust and ask the Lord even to bless that reading to all our hearts. Well, now that we're all confined to our homes, I was thinking an interesting line of study would be to consider the times that the Lord Jesus Christ entered into the homes of different people. And there are many examples in the New Testament. Sometimes Christ resorted to a home for rest and to have time alone with His disciples, explaining to them in private what He had taught in public. Other times He entered into a home to have a meal as a guest. We could think of the time when Levi held a great feast for sinners and publicans, and Christ Himself was present. We can also think of the account in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, when the Savior said to Zacchaeus that he must come down, for today the Lord would abide at his house. Sometimes the Savior performed a miracle in a home. And we thought about that on Sunday evening as the Lord entered into the home of Simon Peter. Now, before us in this portion that we have read in Luke 10, we see the Lord Jesus entering into another home. It's the home of Martha. We read about that in verse 38. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, Martha was the sister, as many of you know, of Mary and Lazarus. And it is suggested by some that she was the oldest of the family because she was the homeowner. Now, her name means lady or mistress of the house. And she always had a welcome for the Master. The door was always open for the Savior as He passed by. Now this chapter rises to a climax in these closing verses. For we see the principle that worship, love, and devotion ought to be at the heart of all that we are and all that we do in the Christian life. Now, the opening of the chapter presents the disciples as ambassadors taking a message of the gospel to lost souls. It continues to show it's essential to be merciful Samaritans, seeking to help others who are in need of God's mercy. But before we can represent Christ as we should, or imitate Him in His mercy, we must spend time with Him and learn from Him. We must take time to be holy. William Dunn Longstaff, on hearing a sermon on a text, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," was inspired to write a poem, "Take Time to Be Holy," which was later set to music by a man called George Stebbins, who worked for D.L. Moody. Now, the second verse of that well-known hymn goes like this: "Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct His likeness shall see." And the thing now, brethren and sisters, is that we have time to be holy. We are now freed up to spend much time in secret with Jesus Christ. And I ask you this question, as I ask myself, are we using this time to do this? The Church of Jesus Christ cannot be faulted for her activity. And she must be active in the ministry and the spread of the gospel. But we have placed duty before devotion, and that is the wrong order. Duty does not breed devotion. Rather, it is devotion that gives rise and motive to the heart to perform duty for Jesus Christ. The importance of devotion is brought across in this portion that we have read. And tonight I want to consider getting back to basics. Getting back to basics. Now, the first thing I want to draw to your attention is the attitude of Mary. The attitude of Mary. Now, Mary of Bethany is seen three times in the gospel record. And on each occasion, she is found at the same place at the feet of Jesus. Here she sat listening to His word. In John 11, we read that she fell at His feet and shared her woe. And in John 12, we read that she came to His feet and poured out her worship. Verse 39, "And she," that is Martha, "had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." Now, we must not think that Mary was not busy in this house, for she was. She was busy listening to the word of her Lord. And we must notice her posture. She was sitting. The Greek word "sat" here means to sit near, to sit alongside. It also means to sit before. It was a place of learning. Disciples would sit around the feet of rabbis listening to their words. In Acts 22, verse 3, we read of Paul, and he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a leading rabbi of Jerusalem. Mary was a woman who wanted to learn more about her Savior. And this construction of the verb "to sit," it's only found here in the New Testament, and it means that Mary took the initiative in taking such a position at the Savior's feet. She made the conscious decision to stop everything else and sit at Christ's feet. He did not force her, nor do we read of her commanding her. As the narrative continues, we even notice that He didn't command Martha. No. Forced, guilt-ridden personal devotion is not how the Savior operates. That's slavish fear and bondage. But the Lord wants us to make that conscious decision to set time aside, to sit at His feet, because we love Him. The rabbis of the day, they did not have disciples that were women. In fact, girls did not even receive a formal education. They were taught simply in household duties. But here is Mary. She's at the feet of personified wisdom, the one who of God has made unto His people wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This was a place of submission and humility, where she was taught by one vastly superior. She was ready to receive what He would say. And the attitude displayed by the posture she adopted was one of, "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth." Now Mary, she just wasn't sitting, but we also read that she heard His word. She had ears to hear. The word "heard" does not simply mean hearing with the ear, but with the mind and understanding, with perception, grasping what is said. Again, that verb, it's in a grammatical tense, which conveys to us that she made a conscious choice and a determination to do this. She settled her mind. She stilled herself to hear His word. And you and I must make the volitional choice to sit and listen to Christ through His word. One great value of reading the word of God is that it is faith feeding. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But notice that verse does not say simply that faith comes by reading, or faith comes by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. Are we taking time to hear as we read the Bible? The soul has ears. Galatians 3 and 5 speaks of the hearing of faith. Jesus Christ, He said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." That's in the present tense. For the Spirit still speaks to the inner ear of the heart. Mary's ear was attentive. I'll not ask you when's the last time you read the Word of God, but rather I'll ask you when's the last time you heard the voice of God. Whether in comfort, counsel, or correction. This was not second-hand hearing. She heard the words of the Lord drop directly from His lips to her ears. This was personal, one-on-one. No one passed this message to her. She took time to be still, to get to know her God. And as I said before, now we have the time. We have the time with the restrictions that are in place to sit at the feet of our Savior. Maybe all of us were just too busy. Maybe there was just too much clamor of the busyness of life, and the still small voice of the Lord was being drowned out. Elijah heard that still small voice when he was in isolation, alone with his God. Now I understand that there is a multitude of messages that are going out online at the moment. We're spoiled for choice every night of the week. We could sit and listen to preachers, and we're very, very thankful for this means that the Lord has given to us. But can I suggest to you, child of God, that you don't become too busy online, that you do not hear firsthand from the Lord. Sit at His feet and take the word down for yourself. And let Him speak directly into your soul by the Holy Ghost, because there is no voice like the voice of Jesus. The hymn writer said of Mary, "At the feet of Jesus, listening to His Word, learning wisdom's lessons from her loving Lord. Mary, led by heavenly grace, chose a meek disciple's place. The attitude of Mary. But secondly, the activity of Martha. Look at verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But, that's a term of contrast. Mary was sitting contemplatively at the Savior's feet, listening to His Word. In contrast, Martha was scurrying around, fussing and fretting as she made preparations for the meal. The hospitality was highly valued in Jewish society, and in fact, honor and even that reputation of a woman was associated with her hospitality, and perhaps this fact was preeminent in Martha's mind. Martha was not to be blamed for serving, or even much serving, but rather that she was cumbered. She was cumbered with her service. The word cumbered means to draw in different ways at the same time, to be pulled away. It means figuratively to be distracted with cares and responsibilities. She was preparing food for the Master while Mary was taking in food for her soul. One man commented, few things are as damaging to the Christian life as trying to work for Christ without taking time to commune with Christ. She had become distracted in her priorities, and it had impacted her. It made her critical of others, and in this case, her own sister. And it made her sharp with the Lord. In her English translation, we don't have the force of manner in how she approached Christ. But in the original, the phrase means stepping up to, bursting in upon the Savior. You can picture the scene. Martha is rushing this way and that, and she's throwing eyes at Mary. She's trying to throw out those eyes at Mary. Come and help me, not letting the Savior see. She's running in and out and murmuring under her breath, all the while trying to maintain that meek and quiet spirit. But it got too much. And in an explosive outburst, she abruptly interrupts the Savior, and the target of her anger was her sister, who instead of helping was sitting there listening to Christ's words. Her service had become a burden. It lacked joy and fulfillment. She questions the Savior about His care. Lord, dost thou not care? Just like the disciples on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And what a charge to lay at Jesus Christ. For no one ever cared like Jesus, as the hymn writer said. Then she commands the Lord to do something about it. Bid her therefore that she help me. The sweetness had gone out of Martha's life. A complaining and bitter spirit had crept in. Martha wanted her efforts to be recognized, acknowledged, and noticed by the Lord. Now, even though there is much wrong with Martha in this account, we need to be fair to her. For it seems that she did learn. In John 12, verse 2, read of another time that Christ entered into the home and a meal was served, this home. And in verse 2, we read these words, and Martha served. She wasn't cumbered there with her serving. She learned. She learned to serve with gladness. And in these days, we can be pulled this way and that by the busyness of life. And our minds can become distracted from that which is important, and we lose our joy of serving. And we begin to murmur against our brothers and sisters. even questioning the Lord. Has that happened to you? Well, it's time to get back to basics if it has. And getting back to basics, it means getting back to the feet of Jesus Christ. They were thought about the attitude of Mary and the activity of Martha. But finally, I want to think about the advice of the Master. The Lord replies to Martha in verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, generally, the repetition of the name of the person addressed emphasizes the importance of the message that would follow. All our examples of this in Scripture of names that were called twice include Abraham and Moses and Samuel and Saul and also the city of Jerusalem. And with tenderness, the Lord addresses Martha, not rebuking her for making preparations or for showing hospitality. By his language, he assesses both her inward and her outward condition, saying that she is careful and troubled. Now, the word careful is not, it's not that word which speaks of diligent mindfulness. Rather, it's someone who is full of care, full of worry, full of concern, full of anxiety. And the word troubled, it speaks of the outward state, flustered, with all the bustle being pulled this way and that. So the Lord had assessed her and he came to this conclusion that both inwardly and outwardly she was full of care and she was troubled. Now the Lord just didn't leave her in that state. But he gave her words of counsel, words of advice in verse 42. And he said, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Some have suggested that the Savior's words, one thing is needful, are to be taken, that he meant one dish would suffice. Martha, you don't need to be going to all this trouble making all these various dishes and a starter and a main course and a palate cleanser and a dessert and all the rest, tea and coffee. But that's not the case. That's not what the Savior meant when he said one thing is needful. The rest of the verse tells us what the one needful thing was. And this is a statement of tremendous importance and significance. And one man made this comment, to be occupied with Christ is more important than to be occupied for Christ. To sit at his feet and to hear his word. The one thing that was needful refers to the welfare of the soul, because nothing is more important. It's to take precedence over all other concerns in life. And child of God, you are not losing time. You're not losing time. You're not wasting time while you are feeding your soul. No spiritual discipline is more important than the intake of God's word. There is no substitute for it. There is no healthy Christian life apart from the diet of the milk and the meat and the honey and the finest of the wheat of the Word of God. If we are to know God and be godly, we must know the Word intimately. And this was the part that Mary chose. This was her portion, as the word part can also be translated. And we read in Psalm 73, verse 26, "My flesh and my heart faileth." We could think of the temporal food. And flesh, and the physical heart will fail if we don't get that temporal food. But the psalmist goes on to say, "But God is the strength of my heart, the spiritual part of me, the part that's most important, and my portion forever." The Savior had said in John 6, and with respect to time, it came before this event here, the Savior had said to the multitudes, "Labor not for meat which perisheth." There is a time for being a servant like Martha. But it's more important that we first take time for worshiping, loving, and learning at the feet of Christ. This is true preparation for acceptable service. What Mary would learn and imbibe into her soul directly from the Lord would remain with her. No devil or man could take the blessing from her. It says at the end of the verse, "which shall not be taken away from her." Now what the Savior said that day in the house, as Mary listened, we do not know. What I was thinking, and I would suggest, it was obviously personal in nature. It was for Mary to hear. For it's not contained in special revelation of God's word for us, His people, but it was a personal word. And I wonder, did this personal word from the Lord influence Mary's service that she did render unto the Lord when she anointed His feet with precious ointment? A service so full of love. Was her devotion there at the feet of Jesus Christ, did that give rise to her duty? A service that was so much full of love that the Savior said, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her." What a service. What a service. The Lord says, wherever the gospel is to be preached, that act of Mary, of anointing His feet with precious ointment, would be spoken of throughout the world. And I wonder, was it this time at His feet, was it this, what she learned there, did that give rise to her service that we read of in John 10? Getting back to basics, child of God, means getting back to the feet of Jesus Christ. And maybe it's time to hit the reset button, child of God. The Lord has afforded us the opportunity to do this in His divine providence with the restrictions concerning coronavirus. There's not one of us can use the excuse that we're too busy, that we're involved in so much service for the Master. No, no, all that's been removed. And it's time to get back to the feet of Jesus Christ. Fathers, it's needful for you to sit at Jesus' feet to get wisdom and how to lead your home. And mothers, it's needful for you to sit at Jesus' feet to get your soul refreshed. Spouses, it's needful for you to come and sit at Jesus' feet so that you can grow closer to Him, so that you might grow closer to one another. Young person, it's needful for you to sit at Jesus' feet, to know His will concerning your future, whatever it might be, with this education and exams up in the air, or maybe a future partner. It's time to sit still at the feet of Jesus Christ. Christian, what a statement from the Lord. One thing is needful, is necessary. This is what the Savior says. I finish with the words from a song, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear Him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me, as I'm waiting at Thy feet. O look down in love upon me, and let me see Thy face so sweet. Child of God, don't be content with a second-hand message from the Master, but get to His feet. Be like Mary. Make that conscious, volitional choice to set yourself, to still yourself, to focus your mind, that as you read the Word, you read it with hearing. And you will get a portion, a part, that shall not be taken away from you. May the Lord bless His Word to our heart. Let's just unite in prayer and ask the Lord to bless us. Bless the Word, and then I'll make a few announcements just for the incoming weeks. Let's unite our hearts in prayer, please. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the instruction of Your Word. Lord, how simple it is just getting back to basics, just to take time to sit at Thy feet, to hear Thy voice speaking in the Word. Lord, I pray that as Thou hast shut us all in, may we be shut in with God. May Christ come into our homes, and may we sit down at His feet, that submissive, humble place, ready to hear what the Lord would have to say. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us at times of putting duty before devotion, thinking activity, O God, is what Thou desirest most of all. And yet Your Word says, my Son, give me Thy heart. You want our love. You want our worship. And You want our devotion. Lord, Thou wilt not force us, nor beat us to that place with a rod of iron. But here we have thy advice and counsel. Even what You gave unto Martha, let us choose. Let us choose the good part. May Your Word be blessed. May we, Father, do what we have learned. And may we be drawn closer to Thee. Hear our prayer and accept of our thanks. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for our Savior's sake and glory. Amen.